Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 49 of the Generic Gaming Podcast.mp3, the podcast where we talk about a new video game every single week. My name is Logan Myrie, and as always, I'm joined by my esteemed co-host and sound engineer, Eric Krause.
You know, Logan, I was telling you before we just got started right here that my back hurts.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, our bodies suck that we each can't even sleep right. And man, like,
not sleep well last night?
Yeah, I guess. But like, you think at this point in our evolutionary stage, like, we'd at least be able to sleep right, right? Like, we'd have at least gotten that down.
I've come to the realization, I've always said I'm an 8 hours of sleep kind of guy. I like getting my sleep right. I schedule my life around making sure I can sleep at the appropriate times.
Yeah.
And this weekend, I had to wake up early to go to, like, an event thing. And I got, like, I don't know, man, 5.5 hours of sleep. And I was like, this is why I don't do this.
Yeah.
I am awfully tired. I'm like irritable. It was a whole thing. And I know that sounds like, I know everyone does that, but for me just specifically, I'm like, I hate this. Like, this is why everyone's miserable. No one gets any sleep.
Yeah. So what I've done, started doing, which is very counterintuitive to what you did, is I used to, like, I agree with you. I've been trying lately to get more consistent sleep.
Yeah.
But I'm different. And kind of a crazy person where I don't need, like, that 8 hours, right? I don't need that full. My body just can handle it without having that extent of sleep. And so, but, like, I used to just sleep so inconsistently with my times that, like, it was still kind of, like, it was just physically draining. Because, like, I used to, like, I'd go to bed at 3 and then, like, get up in, like, 4 hours and then the next night I'd go to bed at like 10 and then get up at like noon the next day. So it'd just be super inconsistent. So what I've started doing is I just get up at either, well, on Mondays I get up at 7:30, but then every other day of the week I just get up at 8:30, regardless of what time I go to bed. And it's really been helping. It just, I don't know, I think the consistency just,
yeah,
your body likes getting used to it.
Your body likes consistency.
Yeah.
Which is why when you throw it off, it's never good.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, this is a video game show. But before that, please, if you enjoy this podcast, if you've ever enjoyed this podcast, or you think maybe one day you'll enjoy this podcast, please go follow our twitch.tv/lateforembargo, where you can watch this podcast live, and you can be part of the conversation. And also, you can catch it early. We don't post till Thursdays. We record this thing on Mondays. So, you know what? If you're listening to it audio style, you're way behind. You know what I mean? And also, you know, you should go tell your friends about us. Tell your grandma. Tell everyone. Get on there in the streets. We're counting on you. Eric, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about a little indie game called Borderlands 3.
Bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum-bum. Game of the show.
So Borderlands came out on Friday of last week, Friday the 13th, very ominous day.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't have that much bad luck, as it was a pretty steady release. Although, leading up to it, a lot of weird stuff with the review codes. But
we don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, we don't really have to talk about it. We don't get review codes.
If someone Gearbox, at 2K would like to give us
review codes. Borderlands 4 comes out, you want to give us, if you want to, we want to be one of those people you give a code to, we won't say no. You want us to show certain parts of the game? Sure, we're sellouts, we'll do it. Okay, but so I started playing.
I do want to clarify that I would sell my, like, ethics. I would talk positively about a game for $5.
Oh yeah, we're huge sellouts if you haven't figured that out by now. So I started playing on Friday late at night. I did a Borderlands 3 launch stream, not really a launch window stream, we'll say, because I kind of missed launch by like 20 hours, but yeah, did a launch stream and played the beginning hours of the game. I'm level 16 now. I played all weekend. Well, not all weekend, as much as I could all weekend. And I'm probably like in mid-game right now. So there's not going to be a lot of spoilers in this discussion, mostly because I have very little idea what's going on.
Eric, I want you to set the scene for me. I want to know some basic details about the gameplay. Or no, let's start with like the story. What's the setup here? What, you know, why are you shooting bad guys? I want to know which character you picked, and I want you to kind of maybe describe some of the other characters for me.
All right, sounds good. So story wise, you are a vault hunter. You are the newest recruit to the Crimson Raiders, who are like the main like group of people that you've joined pretty much in every game, right? And so you just start out, you're pretty much right place, right time, and you help out the Crimson Raiders, and or you help out Claptrap, and then he gets you to join the Crimson Raiders. And then you pretty much almost immediately then run into the Calypso Twins. Oh, you also start out on Pandora, which is the map that starts out in both 1 and 2. But the cool thing about Borderlands 3 is you get to leave Pandora for the first time, but we'll get into that. And so you pretty much run into the Calypso Twins pretty much almost immediately after you do like some tutorial stuff. And the Calypso Twins are the antagonist of the game. The main Calypso twin is a siren, and the sirens are basically like the most powerful race in Borderlands.
Okay.
And there can only be 4 sirens at any given time, and they're always all female, right? And so the weird thing is that the Calypso twins are a male and a female twins, and they're both sirens. But technically one's kind of a leech off the other, which is the male one off of the female one. I can't remember what their like actual names are. I just know them as the Calypso Twins. But yeah, they cause a bunch of shit to happen, and so their whole shtick is like they're trying to take over, but they're doing it like through this kind of live streaming service called Echocast. And so like their kind of whole shtick is kind of making fun of like this whole thing, kind of like streamer community kind of stuff like this, where like they say a bunch of the big thing she says every time like they close out one of their like streams is don't forget to like, subscribe, and obey.
And oh, okay. So that's another thing I wanted to bring up is that I've seen some mixed bag on like Twitter and Reddit and such about the humor of this game. Mm-hmm. And some people say like, oh, you know, it's classic Borderlands, like, you know, yeah, whatever teen humor. And some people are like, some people are saying, like, the writing's horrible, it's very cringe humor. I don't know, where do you fall in that bag?
I think where the humor really shines in this game is, like, in just normal gunplay. I think the cutscenes can get borderline cringe, and, like, they're trying way too hard to, like, do that kind of teen humor kind of... It's kind of when you know when someone's trying to be funny and it's not funny.
Yeah, it's not funny.
And that's what it kind of is for the
cutscenes. It's just like a smorgasbord of like relevant.
Yeah, exactly.
Punchlines.
But when you're just like playing the game and you get random lines from just psychos that are dying and they're screaming things that are dying, that's when it's like funny. Like last night, me and my friend were playing and we killed a psycho and he's like, "My chili recipe dies with me." And so it's like,
pretty good.
Yeah. So you get lines like that are funny, and they're just happening in the world. Okay. And then that's when they're funny, because they're kind of unexpected and they're just,
and like, it doesn't ridiculous. Seem forced, right?
Yeah. Like, it's not forced. Yeah.
Okay.
And so that's where the humor, like that's where I've been really enjoying the humor. Is in that, whereas the cutscenes, they're hit or miss whether I think they're funny or not.
So again, can you run me through, I know there are like 4 characters. Yep. I really haven't looked at them. Run me through them, and which one did you pick?
I can remember 3 other names for sure. So there's Amara, there's Moe's, there's Flack, and then I think the other one's it's something Ford. I know his last name's Ford. I don't know if his first name's Ford. But I chose Flack. He is the beast hunter in the game.
Flack, by the way, I've seen on Twitter. I don't know if this is the thing, but people are saying Flack's non-binary. So shout out to that.
He's
know
a robot.
Was,
so
well, I don't. I didn't know if that was like canon, because there was. I saw the line that's like, "I'm neither man nor woman," or whatever.
But yeah,
I was like, I don't line. Know. At least if they're trying.
Well, because there's a line where you go up against the guy, a robot called Kilowatt, and he is kind of a sexist dude. And so once you kill him, he goes, I literally got that line last night where he goes, "I'm neither man nor woman, but you should respect both."
Okay. Well, and I'm going to go with the non-binary canon, because I respect that.
Yeah. And so, yeah, I play as Flack. He is the beast hunter. He is pretty cool. I've been enjoying him so far. He's kind of cool because he has kind of a lot of variety in his skill tree. They all do, but like, he has 3 different beasts you can choose from, and then as well as 3 different special moves you can choose from. So you kind of get like a little bit of 2 options when you choose him. And then there's Amara, who you can play as, who is also a siren. And so she's kind of a brawler type kind of looking character. I haven't played her at all. I've only seen some gameplay, but all her moves look sick. I kind of think about if I do a second playthrough, I will be her first. Then there's Ford, who is kind of a somewhat of a support class. He can throw down shields. He's got like an extra grenade and stuff like that. And then there's Mose, who my friend chose, and she is a gunner. And she gets this big ass mech that she can drop in, and it does crazy amounts of damage, especially in co-op because there's a turret on top. So whenever my friend drops the mech, he gets in like the main part, and then I get up in the turret, and then we just mow down like bosses. Like, we were struggling with a boss last night, and he dropped this mech. I just did my special move on him because it does fire damage to him. And so it was just burning him, and then I got in his mech, and then we were both just shooting him, and it melted him. So that was really good.
Hell yeah. So another thing another Borderlands kind of staple is this, like, millions of guns kind of thing.
Yeah.
How have the guns been? Have you, like, found... Are you kind of sticking with one? Are you finding yourself changing a lot? How do they play? You know what I mean?
So the guns, there are a ton of them, right? So the big thing about Borderlands is that... it's a looter shooter, right? But it's a looter shooter in the aspect of that you are getting a constant waterfall of guns, right?
Yep.
So you just keep getting pretty much every enemy drops guns all the time, and you're pretty much having to do inventory management constantly. If you want to, I guess. You don't have to. You don't have to pick up every gun, but if you want to make like a ton of money, then you probably should. So the thing is that a lot of the times, though, I feel like the guns are kind of somewhat useless. You'll get a lucky drop here and there, unless your luck is absolutely god-awful like mine. Like, my friend has been getting, like, legendaries just out of shit chests all the time because for some reason in all these games we play, his loot rates are ridiculous and he just always gets better shit than me, and it pisses me off to the end of the earth. But, yeah, so he was getting legendaries all the time, and I'll get rares and uncommons, and then every once in a while I'll get a legendary. But you're constantly getting guns, and so it doesn't feel like, the gunplay never feels too stale, because even if you don't have a loadout that you like in, like, a certain moment, you're like, I'll get a new gun to replace it in a bit. Mm-hmm. And then the cool part is, it's kind of cool, and then kind of feels bad, man, when you finally do get kind of a loadout you're kind of digging, and then in five levels, like, you're gonna be changing it out.
Okay.
Because that's how quick you're just getting so many guns so fast that it's just, you can't be using the same guns for too long, because you're gonna out level them way too quick.
So, you know, in previous Borderlands, it's kind of like there are gun types, right? Like, here's a whatever the machine gun or whatever it was with, and then now this one does like fire damage, right? Mm-hmm. In this game, I know when I was looking at some of the preview stuff, it was like they're trying to vary how the guns feel and stuff. Yeah. A lot more. So it's like this one shoots, I don't know, crazy burgers or whatever. Like, have you been seeing that kind of stuff?
Yeah, there's a lot of variety. Pretty much in every time you pick up a new gun, you have to fire. Like, it kind of is a slow method to do it, but, like, so the way I'll go about choosing my guns is that I'll pick up a gun, then once we get to a point where I can look through my inventory, I'll compare stats to see if it's even worth equipping, and if it has, like, a few things better, then I'll equip it and then see how it shoots, because that's, like, the biggest thing. And so, there's, like, just tons of way it shoots, and that's, like, it, like, that's what it doesn't tell you, like, in the stat menu, so you have to, like, actually see. So I've had guns with legs that when you shoot them and you reload them, you'll, instead of just, like, a basic reload animation, he'll just throw the gun, and a pair of legs will come out, and they'll just stand up and then blow up. Like, and then there's other ones that have legs that they'll stand and continue shooting, like, if you reload them and they still have ammo in them. I have a gun that I've currently been using for a while where it doesn't run out of ammo, but it overheats. And so if you shoot it too long, the gun will start on fire, and he'll take a bottle of water and kind of spray it down with the bottle of water,
put
the
fire out. That's kind of a fun
thing to do. And then I've had guns that, like, shoot beams of energy. Oh, we just unlocked a gun through doing a story quest last night, or a side quest last night, that it shoots out, like... it kind of charges. If you play Destiny, it charges like a fusion rifle. I don't know what else to really compare it to, but it charges and it shoots out like this beam of energy that once it hits a surface, it splits into five beams and kind of splits out, and then it ricochets off of different surfaces. And so it does a ton of damage because you can just shoot at like the feet of an enemy and then it'll bounce up, and instead of just one projectile hitting him, now five projectiles are hitting him and all doing the same amount of damage. So it, you can kind of see how that would stack up and do crazy damage. Yeah, and so we just got that last night, and so we were running around using that, and that weapon's freaking crazy because it does tons of damage. And we were trying, we found an area where you can get like this exotic shotgun called One Pump Chump, but we couldn't figure out how to get into the room. So we kind of just left it and figured we'd go back to it later.
So you've been playing co-op, right? Or, yeah. You know, and you've been streaming, and so this has been kind of a social experience for
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm assuming that's enjoyable just because, you know, playing games with your friends and doing that kind of stuff's fun. Do you think that this would be a fun game to solo run? Do you think it'd be, like, incredibly harder? Or, like, I don't know. I'm curious to know how that kind of stuff works.
I don't think it'd be harder. I think you'd have to spec your builds probably a little bit differently, and you'd have to maybe pay attention to, like, how you're building your character a little bit more. Like, I know Flack, who I'm playing, is a very good solo character if you want to play alone, because, like, what he has a beast that can revive you. Like, you can level up his beast so that if you get down, the beast will come and revive you and pick you up, so that could work really well. But I don't think it matters too much who you choose. Like, all the characters get pretty OP, so like you'll be fine to play single player as any character you want. And so my big thing is that this type of game is not the type of game I would play by myself, because this game is basically a looter shooter open world RPG for me, right? Mm-hmm. Like I haven't been paying that much attention to the story. I don't know all that's going on, and then like I often find myself getting kind of bored, getting bogged down with side quests. And so, like, if it didn't have this social aspect and, like, the really good gunplay and looter loop that, like, keeps me coming back, I don't know if I would play it. But, like, that's just my own preference, right? I don't like just big open world games that take me for freaking ever and there's 800 side quests.
My thing with this game is that I feel like I'm liking everything you're saying, right?
Yeah.
It's checking a lot of the boxes. It seems like it's fun to play. Mm-hmm. It's got, you know, this whatever zany, like, maybe kind of cringe humor thing.
Yeah.
And it just seems like a fun world to be in. But, like, I'm not someone who really plays games with people that often. I find that, like, my friends are usually playing way faster than I am. I'm not ready to, like, play as much as they are.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get... It's a whole thing, right? And so I feel like I'd have, like... 7 hours of fun with this game and then just be like, okay, I think I'm good.
Yeah, and I think that's probably where I'm probably 8 hours in right now, and I think it's not worth it if you only think you're gonna be able to put like 10 or 15 hours in, because I think the game is so much bigger than that, and I hate when people say the game doesn't get good till 20 hours in, but I don't think Borderlands does that. I think it's good right away, because like the gunplay is already top notch the second you start playing. But I think the game, it gets substantially better once you're like 20 hours in, right? Because not then you're getting closer to endgame, and that's where you really start feeling OP. That's when you can really start min-maxing your build. Okay. And that's kind of what a looter is about, right? It's all about the numbers and min-maxing your character so that you can go in and just fuck shit up.
Oh, yeah. So you've played previous Borderlands game. Yeah, I played Borderlands 2.
I've played 2, that's about it. And I didn't beat 2.
And I know, I know that people think that 2 is like, a lot of people say it's like a sleeper hit, kind of, because that it's got like this great, you know, Handsome Jack's like this great antagonist and stuff.
I think it was like a delayed hit. Like, I don't think it was huge the second it came out. Yeah, I think it took a while for people to realize, oh shit, this game's good.
Yeah, I just saw a lot of people being like, oh, this was the game of the year that year, and like it kind of just didn't get, I don't know, because I guess when I think about Borderlands, I don't think about compelling stories.
Yeah.
Or, you know what I mean? I think about like fun shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And so do you think that this game stacks up? Is it like a very significant improvement over previous entries? How do you feel about that kind of thing?
I don't know how much I could actually speak on this, because I didn't play a ton of Borderlands 2. Like, I got probably, probably halfway through Borderlands 2, and then I kind of got bored with it just because the story didn't hook me, and I felt like we were doing more driving around in cars and riding around Pandora than actually doing shooting. And so the thing that's been fun about Borderlands 3 is I feel like it's a lot more faster paced, in that like you're in the action way more often than you were in Borderlands 2. And so that's really what's been like keeping me going. The only problem I've had is that I keep losing the narrative thread of where we're at in like the story, because we start a mission and then we go into another room and then it seems like we accidentally start a different mission, and then now we're following that mission, and then before we finish that mission we've now started a different mission, and so we keep accidentally starting different side quests before we finish them. And so right now, like, if we go into our mission menu, I have like probably 30 just quests, and maybe 15 of them are done, and then the other 15 are just a bunch of different stuff. And so it's super hard to tell what's a story mission and what's a side quest for different things. Like, we did that Kilowatt mission last night, and I'm still not sure if it was a story mission or if it was just a side quest. And so that's my biggest thing, is I just keep losing the narrative thread in Borderlands 3. But the fast-pacedness of just keep getting in the action is really all I care about now at this point. Is like, now I just want more guns and I want to shoot them.
Yeah. So do you think you are going to see it all the way through? Do you plan on playing a bunch more?
Yeah, I don't know how much I'll play of Endgame. I really do want this. This is a game I really do want to beat.
That's every game's a game I want to beat, but yeah, it never happens.
Well,
like
this
that.
Is a game I have certain expectation levels coming for games I want to beat, right? Like, when I played Remnant from the Ashes, I knew Borderlands 3 was out in 2 weeks. I knew I wasn't beating that game. Whereas this game, Destiny Shadowkeep, comes out in 3 weeks, and I'm going to be gone all of this week, right? And not access to my PC. And so I'm like, well, I really want to beat this game. I just want to see the story through anyway. And so I'm going to just kind of hit the ground running once I get back, try to get through as much of the game as possible to hopefully beat it before Destiny Shadowkeep comes out. Because once Shadowkeep comes out, that's going to be all I'm playing.
Yeah, this one feels like, at least to me, a big ol' skip. Because Link's Awakening is coming out this week Friday.
Yeah.
And, like, that's a game I'm very excited for. And then from there on, it's, like, every week it feels like
we have
big releases.
We have Untitled Goose Game coming out on the 20th as well.
Yeah, so that's exciting. Is that on Switch?
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's, again, like, a game I'd like to play. There's a lot of stuff coming out that I really would like to play. So this one feels like a big old giant skip.
Yeah, it's just, especially because you're not really into, like, cutting the looter shooters, too. So, like, I don't know how much it is worth playing unless you really like looter shooters.
Yeah, and I mean, this doesn't feel like, so far to you, a game of the year kind of, I don't know, contender. Because I know that's like such a shitty, I don't know, we do a podcast kind of thing to say, but I feel like I'm prioritizing games that like are going to be the big talking points this year, which is like, again, kind of a weird mindset to have, but that's how I feel.
Yeah, I don't know if Borderlands 3 will make my game of the year list. I think I'm too early in the game to say, but I think once I hit endgame, that'll be really my deciding factor of like, if I hit endgame and this game makes me go like, dang, I'm gonna come back to this game after I mess around in Shadowkeep, like, then I'll be like, okay, this might be a game of the year contender.
All right. What do you got? Any plans? Do you have anything else to say about Borderlands 3? Because I want to transition to some questions I have for you.
Go for it.
So you're going on a trip here.
Yes.
You're going to your sister's wedding.
Yes.
You'll be gone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
What are you planning on playing?
So I'm bringing my Switch home. When you do the Smash stream, going to have to use a Pro controller because I'm taking my GameCube controllers home with me.
Oh, and you're taking your Switch. That's a good thing to note.
Okay, yeah. So, well, you have Smash, so you're good.
Yeah, I'm good. I don't have any of the characters. I should buy them, but.
Well, you don't need to play those characters.
That's true. Whatever.
Anyway, so yeah, I'll be playing, my brother will be home from Japan as well. And so we'll be playing a bunch of Smash. I don't know how much time I will be having to play games while I'm home.
Sister's yeah, I'm sure you're going, for a big event. You'll
yeah. So I'm probably only gonna jump into Smash this week and maybe do some Mario Kart just when my brother and I have time to just kill when we're not doing something. Probably gonna be playing some Magic too. My brother and I always play that. So But nothing, I don't think.
You're not trying to get anything substantial.
Yeah.
I'm curious because I'm really excited for Link's Awakening. Is that a game that you think you're going to play?
It's a game I really want to play, but I think that it's not a game I'm going to play this month. I think that's going to be, I'm going to try to play it before end of the year, just so I can talk about it for like our game of the year discussion. I don't even know what I'm going to fit it in, dude, because like in the next 2 months, there's so many games
coming. Yeah, there's a lot of games coming.
I think that's going to be a game I play in like that last week of November where there's no games coming out yet, right? There's that we have to wait a few weeks before that mid-September pre-Christmas release, and then all like the big games have been out in November and October, and I've gotten to play the ones I want to play. So that's the it just sucks because I don't know, maybe I'll crack and get FOMO and play it.
Yeah, maybe. I'm ready to I'm so ready, man. I'm really excited. Yeah.
My problem is I just have no idea what I'll play. Because I need to beat Borderlands. Like, that is my number one priority. But I also want to play Untitled Goose Game. So, like, I don't know. We might just have to play Link's Awakening on stream, and that'll be my excuse to play that.
That could work. Eric, I want to transition into my hot topic. So yesterday I got home. I'm like, I don't really want to get back into like Fire Emblem today. I was not really feeling like I wanted to platinum Control, and I'd been thinking about what do I want to play, and all those SNES games just came out on Switch on the Switch Online service. I'm like, these are all free games, bunch of stuff I haven't played on there. I've never played Links to the Past, which I was like, this is a huge kind of glaring issue, but that feels like a little too substantial, right? Like, yeah. I don't know, that's kind of a long game to me. And there's some other stuff in there. I'm like, I don't really know anything about this. I jumped in and played, like, the tennis game. Mm-hmm. And I was like, this doesn't really hold up that well.
Yeah.
So I jumped into a little game, unknown title.
Yeah.
No
one's ever heard of it.
Yeah. Super underrated.
Yeah.
Super Metroid.
Yeah.
And so I jumped in, and I'm like, I played for probably 2.5 hours last night.
Oh, you got some good time.
So I mean, I put like a good chunk of time into it, and I was ready. I was going in, and I was kind of expecting to like be confused, mm-hmm. and like have to Google a lot of things, and like and ready to just be kind of frustrated with like the old game
mechanics. Yeah,
just like, you know, this whole thing. And I was like, oh, like this game holds up really well. And I know people always say like, oh, Super Metroid is like one of the best games of all time. And I thought it was like one of the best games of all time because it came out when it
yeah,
came,
you know, had like, that nostalgia.
Like, you know, the nostalgia stuff. But I'm like, honestly, it's a solid game. I tried to play through, like, the original Metroid, because that's on the NES, and I hated the way it felt, so stiff and, like, bad.
Yeah.
But the SNES, two more buttons. You know what I mean? Yeah. So there's a lot more, like, it feels like
more options.
A real game. You know, like, a real substantial, like, I'm getting all these upgrades. I'm getting new abilities that I'm like, oh, I can now do this thing. And I really haven't run into that many like actual issues with the game. Like, yeah. You know, and it like feels like it's blocking or anything. And so I just want to know, because that's a retro game, right? And then, you know, we'll get into like what exactly that means. We have a question from the chat about what is retro, but I want to know, how do you feel about retro games? Do you feel like when you think about these old games you haven't played, a Super Metroid, Links to the Past or whatever, do you feel the need to go back and play them? Or you know, how do you feel? Because these are important games, right? Like yeah. Super Metroid, there were a lot of things that I'm like, oh my God, like this is, I understand Metroidvania is a thing. Mm-hmm. And like, obviously everyone's pulling from this game. But I had never played it. So when I was playing it, I was like, this is like incredibly similar to like Hollow Knight, like even just
well,
like
yeah, because Hollow Knight's directly inspired.
But like I thought that it was just more about like, oh, there's a map, an open-ended map, and you're getting upgrades and stuff to go around. But I'm like, even like, there was one thing I can't remember what it was, but there was one thing last night where I was like, this is Hollow Knight, like right here, and it's like I guess I never realized like how much of an impetus this is for the wider genre. Like everything is a Super Metroid clone, basically.
Yeah. So yeah, to answer your question, there are tons of games that I feel are just like huge glaring holes in my like knowledge and history that I just haven't played, right?
Yeah.
The big ones being Super Metroid, Link or Legend of Zelda, and Metal Gear Solid 1. Like every time like I'll hear people like talk, and Castlevania. And so, like, these are games that inspired, like, so many games.
Yeah,
like,
entire genres.
Still come out today, like, that are just completely inspired by these games. And they're, the funny thing is these are all kind of, like, and I guess Metal Gear Solid 1 isn't, but, like, these are all, three of them were 2D kind of games. I guess Legend of Zelda isn't, too. I guess Legend of Zelda and Metal Gear Solid 1 are kind of in, like, that 3D Pokemon flat plane kind of situation. I guess, what do you call that? Is that 2.5D?
Well, no. I mean, I think Metal Gear Solid 1's, like, literal 3D, but...
Is it?
Yeah, and then Legend of Zelda's just, like, top-down.
Oh, yeah, top-down 2D. Anyway, yeah, like I said, huge glaring hole. And so, these are, you know, like, I would love to just go back and play all these games, but it's, like...
A lot of stuff coming out.
A lot of just new stuff constantly coming out. And so, I don't really have time, and I've already heard so much about them, and I know, like, that they, what, like, the things that they've inspired and the things that they've done. And, like, Castlevania and Metroid specifically, Metroidvanias are my favorite type of game to play. And so it's like, I feel like I should go back and play the games that are literally titled after.
Yeah, just for my couple hours, I think you should play Super Metroid. I actually think I was, like, totally flabbergasted at how, like, it holds up very well. And visually, it holds up very well, and it controls very well, and, like, all around. I'm really digging it.
I might jump into that this week just because I downloaded the SNES simulator and stuff like that. And so I jumped in. I also played Kirby Dream Land 3. That game, it was awesome. Love it. Just because I'm a Kirby Dream Land fan. So that's why I played that one, to get my nostalgia hit from it. But yeah, I might jump into Super Metroid just to check it out. I'm really jealous of my brother because he has a 13-hour flight home where I have to drive 4 hours. Can't really play my Switch while doing that. But man... 13-hour flight, just bring my Switch. That'd be pretty sick.
Are there games that you have played, like, that you've specifically gone back and played because it felt like this is an important retro game or something? Like, I went back and played, like, the original Legend of Zelda. And to be fair, I had to use a guide for, like, a fair amount of it. That game's, like, super fucking obtuse. And I need to get this game done this weekend. I'm not... pouring my life into this thing, and I liked it. I like it a lot. It's fun to see kind of where these broader ideas, like, come from.
Yeah, I usually only go back and will play the game when there's, like, a remaster collection that comes out.
Okay,
so I did it for Mega Man because the Mega Man collection came out on PS4, and so I went back. I didn't beat a single one of them, but I played Mega Man 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And
so you just got to a point where you're like, I'm done, and then you'd go on to the next one?
Yeah, exactly. Well, because you could fight every single boss whenever you want in Mega Man, right? You choose your boss order, pretty much. And so, like, I got to every boss, but I could only ever beat, like, a few of them. And so, like, I was never able to get to Wily's Castle to do this stuff. And so, like... I just would play to a point where then I'm just like, okay, I've had enough of this. Because Mega Man, fucking hard. So incredibly difficult. Like, probably one of the hardest games I've ever played. And so, I just never got to a point where I'm like, okay, I could beat this. And I'm like, I'd rather just keep seeing the rest of the games. And that's probably the biggest one that I've gone back and played. Obviously, Mario is a big one I've played a lot. Super Mario World, the probably being the big one, because that one's my favorite. And trying to think of what other game that would be retro that I've gone back and played.
So I think maybe this is a good time to bring up this question we have from the chat. I Blame My Role says, how old does a game have to be for it to be real retro versus newer games in the retro style? Said, and then he has a follow-up question, is original Halo a retro game now?
I guess, probably.
In my mind, this is by no means a definition of retro. In my mind, just in my Logan Myrie's brain, any game from, like, the PS1, maybe PS2, maybe original Xbox era, and before, is, like, retro to me.
Now? No. So what's your timeline then here? Like, 50...
any game that came out, like... before 2000 is, like, retro to me, I guess. I don't know.
So 20 years is your cutoff, right?
I guess. Well, I don't know. It's such a loose... I mean, I guess you could even argue probably that anything that is older than the current generation could be considered retro.
I think now we have to I'm going to classify it a little bit differently now, so that once a game is no longer being pushed updates and it's now, it's basically becomes a dead game, right? It's no longer being supported. It's no longer getting updates. The game is considered complete.
So Drive Club's a retro game?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's kind of hard to find. But, like, okay, so it has to be 10 years old and then also no longer receiving updates. That'll be my classification.
Oh, okay, so you're trying to kind of account for games like Twin Fort, or what was that game? What's the Valve game? Yeah, the
team shooter.
Yeah, Team Fortress,
yeah.
So, like, because that's, like, an old-ass game, or, like, CS, like Counter-Strike.
Well, the thing about Counter-Strike is still receiving updates.
Well, no, that's what I was saying, like, because those are old-ass games that people are still playing.
Yeah, so they're not really retro.
Like,
they're
Is Melee a retro game?
Yeah, I'd say Melee is a retro game.
Okay.
Because that game's no longer supported, right? You're not getting characters.
No, yeah, for sure. Updates. Well, because there's no way to, I mean...
For GameCube.
They're going to come to game, you know, fix your GameCube, like in...
Yeah, maybe, I don't know. Send you a new copy of the game. But yeah, I'd say Melee is a retro game.
Yeah, I would agree, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that falls into my, like, what I say retro is, because it's like, our GameCube doesn't feel retro to me.
But it's real old at this point.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
And, like, I'd say Halo 1, 2, and 3 are all retro games.
3? Yeah. 3 is retro to you?
Yeah.
Jesus. Because that, it's weird to me, because those are games that I played. Like,
yeah, exactly. You're kind of up to date on them, right?
I was thinking, like, I don't know. I guess I was thinking more about games that came out before I was playing games.
That's what you're.
So it's like my lifetime is kind of like
everything before you were born is a retro game, and everything while you're alive is
the demarcating current. Features of a retro game is that it came out before I played games. Yeah. Like before you know.
Mm-hmm. But I just don't think that's. Right.
No,
right.
Yeah, no, it's by no means, like, a good definition.
Because then otherwise, like, Miyamoto just has, like, zero retro games. Like, there's no retro games to him other than, like, Pong.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. And so I think, I guess my whole point in this, with this hot topic, was that I think that there is real value, and this should be obvious to anyone except for me, I don't know, that there's, like, actual real value in going back and playing old games. Because mm-hmm. I often get into the mindset where I'm like, oh, it's going to be so dated, like, you know, it's going to be, like, the tank using the bumpers to control the camera, GoldenEye.
Well, that's only Resident Evil.
Yeah, like that. You know what I mean? So I
think you just have to forget everything you know when you go and play retro games. You have to just go in and be like, I want to play this game. I want to see what it's all about, what all the hype is about, and then you just forget everything you know. It's not going to play like how you want it to, because there's been 40 years of it improving on game mechanics and making a game feel really well to get to Kratos' axe, where you feel like a god.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I mean, again, except for Super Metroid, I'm so impressed with how this game plays, Eric. Mm-hmm. It's so tight.
Yeah. See? And so then sometimes you'll get things like that, too.
This is a little off topic, but I would like to say, my big beef with Metroidvanias, there are some great games in this genre. Obviously, the Metroids, the Castlevanias, like, even the spinoffs. Hollow Knight is a fantastic game. I often get frustrated with the fact that you can run into situations where you think, can I do this, or do I need something else? Like, I was in a situation in Super Metroid where I was, like, stuck, and I kept falling into this thing, and I was like, I think I should be able to do this, and I don't think I'm missing any, like, upgrade, you know, or moves or whatever, equipment, but I couldn't, and I was like, god damn it, what's going on? And so then it gets, and then you go and you try to explore other places, and then you just end up coming back to the exact same spot, and you're like, I think I should be able to do this.
Well, then you're just missing something.
Well, yeah, but
that seems like your own personal problem.
I know, but, like, I don't know that I ran into that with when I was playing Control, where
I was watching
where that. I was like, I think I have literally all of the means to do this thing, mm-hmm. and I'm in an area where I think I have you know, I should be able to navigate this space.
Yeah.
And they don't block me off from getting to this thing, which seems like, it seemed to me like a, like, oh, if they didn't want me to be here, then they would.
Well, they did block you off where you couldn't get past the chasm. And
yeah, so there's a big chasm, and I half expected it to be like, you know, Control's weird, right? You walk, and I was expecting, mm-hmm. like, the fucking, I would take a step off the ledge, and a thing would pop up, and, you know, and catch me, and it didn't, and I was like, okay, fine, maybe there's some other trick to this.
Yeah.
And I thought it was like a puzzle, but I just didn't have the move, like, I didn't have the ability yet, which was annoying, because it just didn't, maybe that's a problem with that game specifically, about not, like, signposting well, about what... But I normally they lock everything behind key cards, right? So then so then I was like, okay, I got here. I should be able to.
Yeah, that's the thing about Control is that had Metroidvania elements in it. It wasn't a Metroidvania.
Yeah, where the entire point.
Like, in Super Metroid, I think you just have to know when to draw your line. Once you try three or four times, like, okay, I need something.
Yeah. Or, well, Eric, it turns out, here's the thing. It turns out I could do it. I never realized that you could sprint.
Oh, so that's just your problem. You didn't know
how to play the game. It's not my problem. The game didn't tell me, Eric.
Well, yeah, you didn't figure it out. You didn't think there was a sprint button? You didn't try all the buttons?
I don't do... Well, Eric, how many SNES games have sprint buttons? I don't know, man.
You gotta try all the buttons.
All right. Anyways, I got past it. I felt like an idiot, but that's my only issue with, like, some of these games is that it's like, can I do this? Can I not do this? It doesn't feel like the game's telling
that's
me.
That's my favorite part of those kind of games.
I don't know.
The exploring element.
I like
finding out the answers.
I like it when it clicks, where it's like, oh, I have this thing. Oh my god, I totally realize how I can do this thing now, right?
I love when it's like, oh, I come across something, figure I can't do it. 10 hours later, I find the item I need, and I'm like, I remember where I need to.
Yeah,
use this.
Need to go back to that place.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other retro games I'd like to play at some point. I would like to play Link to the Past. Here's my problem, though. I this is going to sound stupid to anyone who loves these games, but, like, I already played Link Between Worlds, which is very similar to Link to the Past.
Yeah.
So it's like, do I really want to?
I don't know. I, like, Legend of Zelda games are, like, this hole in my game playing history that I know I should fill, but I'm never going to
do. You ever played any of them?
No, I've never played a Legend
of Zelda. You haven't even played Ocarina of
Time? Link's Awakening will be the first Legend of Zelda game I've ever
really?
Played.
Really? Really? Yeah. I'm not even going to lie. If I was going to tell you to start with one, like, specifically, I think you should play Link Between Worlds. But I know you probably don't have a 3DS.
No.
Just go buy one of those 2DSs. They're like 80 bucks.
I'll just play Link's Awakening. It looks cute.
Yeah, but Link Between Worlds is cute.
Aren't they all standalone? I don't need to play them in order.
No, yeah, you don't need to.
Yeah,
so I just think that matter. I think that's the first one I beat. Mm-hmm. And I think it's, like, amazing. I think it's a fantastic game. It's, like, got... I think it has a pretty good balance of, like, easy, but...
Yeah. Well, still, maybe Link's Awakening will send me down a rabbit hole.
Maybe. I played Link's Awakening on the... I played it on, like, an emulator. I played it on my 3DS. Mm-hmm. And I ran into an issue where the game was obviously designed for the Game Boy Color. And so it was, like, kind of hard to tell what was going on in the map sometimes.
Yeah.
And I totally got... I was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? And I just was like... I didn't feel like Googling it. And I was I played a pretty fair amount. I feel like I played, like, I don't know, man, 6 hours or something.
Yeah.
So I was pretty deep in, but... I just stopped.
Sounds like me in pretty much every single game.
Yeah, just every game.
And now I'm done. How it goes.
So yeah, retro games. If you have an opinion, if you feel like you have a great definition of what a retro game is, tweet it at Lomyre, LOMYHRE, or at Krizzy in the Hizzy, KRIZY in the HIZY.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. Yeah, I don't know. I was just because I guess I probably could have Googled it, but I was like, I don't think I have a good idea of what retro means.
Yeah, I don't know. I think 10 years and it's no longer a live service.
Okay. You know? All right. Anyways, Eric, you feeling good? You have anything else to talk about?
I'm feeling great. I'm ready to drink my coffee that I made before a stream that I forgot to pour. So let's just chill it over the kitchen. Been giving us some good smells while we've been doing the podcast.
It does smell really good in here. Hell yeah. Anyways, just a reminder that this Thursday, which will be the day this podcast goes live for audio people, we will be streaming at 7. Eric will not be here. He has left and will leave forever. He's never coming back. And my friend Evan will be on. And we're going to...
He's my friend, too. I'm pretty sure I've hung out with him more because you're never here.
That's debatable. Anyways, Evan will be on and we'll be playing a game, which I haven't decided yet. Anyways, this has been the genericgamingpodcast.mp3. Thank you so much for listening. Again, if you love this podcast, if you've ever loved this podcast, or you think maybe one day, make sure you like and subscribe and do all the good stuff that everyone says to do. Please tune in next week when Norman Reedus comes on the show to punch us in the face for staring too much at his crotch. Anyways, we love you, unless you suck, in which case we don't, and you should probably work on that. Have a good one.